Good morning. Our call to worship this morning is from Isaiah chapter 53. And I'm reading it from the King James Version. If you'd like to turn to it, I'm going to be reading all 12 verses. Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. What an awesome God. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, there are so many hymns, songs, stories, plays written about the amazing events of what we know as the Easter weekend. They all embrace the greatest love story ever told. It's about the one who is love, and the Apostle John summed it up so well when he said, that you loved the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have eternal life. O Lord, help us to grasp afresh the depth of that love, your love for us. You are worthy of our worship. You're worthy of our praise and our thanks. And as the Holy Spirit graces us today with his presence, we pray, Lord, that our hearts will be softened, that indeed you will see the travail of your soul, and you will be satisfied when you see us as ones who have accepted your great and awesome sacrifice for us. And we thank you with all our hearts. Amen. I want to welcome each one of you here to this Easter service this morning. I know sometimes the events of Easter are often overshadowed with the bunny and the Easter eggs. But for those of us who know the true meaning of Easter, we know that it is the open tomb tomorrow morning that gives us cause for rejoicing and gladness. So may you feel the welcome here today, and may you leave here feeling that you can't wait for tomorrow morning. I mean, yes, we know it happened a long time ago, but as we take extra time tomorrow to reflect again on the open tomb, may our hearts rejoice in what Jesus has done for each one of us. Taking part in our service today, we have our pastor who will have a short Easter message. We have our praise team sitting at the front, Keith, Joshua, and Mackenzie, and Sherilyn will be on the piano. We have Rawa who will do the offering, the scripture reading today. So may God bless us as we gather here today to worship him and to praise him with all our hearts.
If you are able to stand, our opening hymn is number 159, The Old Rugged Cross. Thank you. You may be seated.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
And happy Sabbath. Today's scripture is found in Luke chapter 23, verse 44 to 47. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into the hands I command my spirit. And having said that, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. God bless you all.
We will sing our prayer song now, Open Our Eyes, Lord. And then Pastor Jamie will lead us in prayer.
Shall we pray? Great God, our Father, we gather here as your children, recognizing that we, Lord, are sinners, that we are unworthy, that we are nothing without you. We're just a lump of clay neatly put together. And dear God, we recognize that if it were not for you, we would not be here today. If it were not for you, we would not have the great hope of salvation. If it were not for your birth, your perfect life, your death, your resurrection, your ascension, we would not have you as our high priest that we can call on at any time and to uplift our prayers to you, knowing, God, that you not only hear and answer, but you answer according to our needs. Father, we are so grateful for what you have done, for what you continue to do, and for what you are going to do, because we know you always operate in our best interest. You love us with an everlasting love that cannot be severed, that cannot be diminished based on anything that we do. Nothing can separate us from your love. And God, we are just so thankful. We want to extend to you our appreciation through our praise, through our worship, simply because of who you are. Today, as we recognize this Easter weekend, we, Lord, just want to celebrate the fact that we serve a risen Savior. We serve a God that is alive and sits on the throne, and you are in full control of everything that is transpiring. Nothing catches you by surprise. And God, we know that we have access to you at any time, and this is why we can pray with boldness this morning. Father, we want to pray today in a special way that you would give us your Holy Spirit. That God, you would even give us a double portion. And if there ever was a time we needed to be empowered by you, God, that time is now. We see, God, that you're preparing to come and take us home as we look in our world and see all that is happening. We see that Bible prophecies are fast fulfilling. We see, God, that you desire for us to be ready for your soon return. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit and that you would seal each and every one of us. That our names would be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That all our works that we do, God, would be covered by your righteousness. And that, Father, you would look to each of us on that great and getting up morning to say that we are righteous based on the blood of Jesus. Lord, we know that there is power in the blood of the Lamb. We know that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And we know that your blood is efficacious to cleanse us from all sin, to purify us, and to forgive us. So this morning, God, we pray for those listening online. We pray for all within the hearing of my voice in this church. That God, you would lift us closer to you. That if any of us are sick, that you would heal us. That if any of us are doubting, that you would give us belief. That if any of us are struggling, that you would make our path straight. And that if any of us need a Savior, that you would stretch out your hands to receive us unto yourself. May you bless each one today, Lord, as we reflect on all that you did for us on Calvary. As we reflect on the way that you lived your life perfectly, knowing that you had to be a perfect substitute for us. And may we all leave here rejoicing because we know that we are justified because of Jesus Christ. And that justification is available to anyone who is alive today who would like to receive Jesus in their lives. So we thank you, God, for the privilege of prayer and for the opportunity to lift our hearts to you. We ask that you would fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with the joy of salvation. And we pray that as we listen to the message today, it would be a message that would allow us to gain a greater understanding of your love, how wide and how broad it is, so that we, God, can rest assured that we serve a God that loves us so much. And that we have an opportunity to love you back. Bless each one. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Savior, your entry from sin. They said, crucify him, he's to blame. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the said, behold the King. They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. He could have called. To the cross, his mother stood nearby. He said, woman, behold thy son. He cried, I thirst for water, but they gave him none to drink. And the sinful work of man was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the cross of shame he took alone. And when he cried, it's finished, he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have
delight that we have to be here on this Easter weekend, a time where we can reflect on the life of Christ. Not that we can't do that on every week or every day, but it's a special opportunity where we can spend time thinking about our Savior. I want to thank each one that has led out with our worship service this morning. Thank you for taking us up closer to God. And we pray that the message today will bring us that much more closer to Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for your presence. We ask for your wisdom. We ask for your guidance. We need the Holy Spirit. May you place the cross before me so that your people will not look at me. They will see you high and lifted up. As you said, you would draw all men unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Crucifixion was one of the cruelest designs of capital punishment during the time of Christ. It brought on excruciating pain, leading to a slow death, sometimes taking days. When we consider what transpired many, many years ago one Friday on the hill of Golgotha, also called Calvary, we generally consider it from a few standpoints. We consider it from a salvation standpoint. The significance of Jesus' life and death on the cross and what that means in saving you and me today. We also consider it from a prophetic standpoint, which highlights that Jesus died right on time, when the fullness of time had come according to the Old Testament prophecies and according to the prophecies that Jesus spoke himself. But today I want to take a journey with you to consider it from a medical perspective, to give us a glimpse of what that experience was like for Jesus as he was on the cross dying for the sins of the world. The medical perspective explains in great detail what Jesus endured during that experience. The nails used were 7 inches long, and they were driven through the median nerve that runs in the hand, along the arm, towards the spine. In addition to the median nerve, the Romans also severed a tendon in the wrist that resulted in Jesus having to use his back muscles to support his ability to breathe. Can you imagine that? In positioning Jesus on the cross, the legs were slightly bent in a flexed position and rotated at the knee, followed by the feet being nailed to the cross. As with the hands, the nail driven into the feet were targeted at a nerve to elicit maximal pain. The arms of Jesus were stretched far apart, and the muscles used for inspiration were essentially in a fixed position. This made it difficult for Jesus to breathe out. In order to exhale, Jesus would need to push up on his legs to relieve the pressure in the chest just so he could breathe out. I imagine you're beginning to get a picture. Use his back muscles just so he could breathe, used his legs just so he could breathe out. And this was a continuous action that took place just so Jesus could breathe. Scholars suggest that this effect was the reason why Jesus gave short statements while he was on the cross. You would recall the 7 final words of Jesus, where he uttered words of encouragement even though he was on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He said to the thief who chose to receive Jesus, he says, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." To his mother, he said, "Woman, this is your son." And to the disciple John, who he loved, he said, "Here is your mother." He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" when he experienced the separation from his father. He said, "I am thirsty," because he had not eaten for a whole entire day. He had not had any drink for a whole entire day. He said, "It is finished," because he accomplished the work that he set out to do. And he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And then he breathed his last breath. These were the final words of Jesus before he died on Calvary. You know, sometimes we like to bring up the fact that Jesus died from a broken heart. And the pain that he experienced due to the separation between himself and his father far outweighed the pain that he experienced on the cross. But I'd like to submit that the sufferings that Jesus endured on the cross are never to be diminished or dismissed. Let us never forget what Jesus went through for us on Calvary. In fact, Jesus said at the Last Supper during the Passover meal that we are to commemorate it because of the bread, which represents his body, which was broken, and the juice, which represents his blood that was shed for humanity. Let us never forget the sacrifice and the sufferings of Jesus on the cross. As the songwriter says, "Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me back to Calvary." Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, which Margaret read for us so eloquently this morning, it says, "He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." The body of Jesus was taken from the cross and eventually brought to a tomb which belonged to Joseph of Arimathea of Judea. All four gospel writers write about him. He was a wealthy Jewish man who was a member of the council of the Sanhedrin. But he was also a secret supporter of Jesus, which was why he did not join the council in their actions against Jesus. He came all the way from the country, and he requested from Pilate permission to take the body of Jesus to bury it properly. When permission was granted to him by Pilate, he, along with Nicodemus, wrapped the body of Jesus in cloth and buried him in an unused tomb. The tomb where Jesus laid, however, had three obstacles in its way. The first obstacle was the soldiers stationed around the sepulcher. The second obstacle was a seal that was placed outside of the sepulcher. And thirdly, there was a stone which covered the sepulcher. First, we deal with the soldiers. The soldiers were stationed at the tomb as a result of a meeting that transpired between the chief priests and the Pharisees. They came together and went to Pilate because they were worried about the fact that Jesus would come back to life. In fact, they remember when Jesus had told them while he was alive that after 3 days, he would rise again. And in Matthew chapter 27, verses 63 to 66, the Bible says this, regarding their conversation. It says, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive, how that deceiver said," they're referring to Jesus, "how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be greater than the first." Then Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." In other words, use your best security tactics and advancements. Use whatever you have to secure that tomb. I can recall the days when I worked security. All we had was a flashlight and a walkie-talkie and a recorder and some keys to use the Jeep. And I remember we would have our meetings and we would tell our boss, we would say, "Could we get a dog, or can we get some new weapons just in case something does happen? We'll be ready to go." And I remember they would say, "Well, there's some security concerns with that. There's some liability concerns. It'll be very expensive to have those kinds of things." But Pilate didn't care about that. Pilate didn't care about how much it would cost. Pilate didn't care what he needed to use. Pilate was willing to use whatever was available to secure the tomb. Nobody's getting in, and nobody's getting out of that tomb. You've got to have a lot of power and influence that even when you're dead, people are paranoid about you. That's the kind of power and influence Jesus had. Pilate commissioned the soldiers to prevent anyone from getting access to it. A normal platoon commentary suggests there were over 50 soldiers, and the servant of the Lord says that there were over 100 soldiers. So the point is clear, there were many soldiers outside of the sepulcher. And in order to get to Jesus, we need to get past the soldiers. We also need to get past the seal. There was a Roman seal that was placed on the stone that barricaded the tomb. And in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 66, the Bible says, "So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard." There was a seal. And the sealing of the tomb was done by several steps by the soldier. First, there was a strong rope that was placed around the stone at the door of the tomb. Then two ends were drawn to the side of the door on the outer wall of the tomb. Thirdly, there was a wax or clay seal that was placed on the rope where it crossed itself in front of the stone, and where the rope touched the two sides of the tomb. Nobody could move the stone without first breaking the seal. It's just like receiving a package. If you order something online or you get a package that is enclosed within a box and it's taped up, in order to get to the contents in the package, you've got to break through the box and take off the tape and take out the styrofoam and the plastic and the wire, and you got to break all of that off just to get to the contents inside of the package. That's what that seal was. The seal was a sign of authentication that the tomb was occupied, and the power of authority of Rome stood behind the seal. And anyone found breaking that Roman seal would suffer the punishment of an unpleasant death. All of this was done to ensure that nothing would happen to that tomb. A seal contains a name, title, and territory, and the Romans thought that that seal was seen as the highest form of authority. But little did they know that there is a seal of the living God that far outweighed any seal they could put together. His name is Jesus. His title is Creator, and his territory is heaven and earth. Somebody say amen today. No seal could ever match the seal of the living God. We see the great controversy at work here. Satan would have loved to keep Jesus in the tomb, to keep him in the grave, and as it were, he would be the prince of this world. But Jesus would not have it that way. The other obstacle in our way is the stone. A large, heavy stone was securely fastened at the entrance of the sepulcher where Jesus laid. And the stone made the religious leaders feel secure that the excitement surrounding Jesus would soon go away, that it would soon be something of a distant memory. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, verses 59 and 60, that Joseph took the body, wrapped it in clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. And he rolled a big stone in front of the entrance and went away. The stone was a big obstacle to get to Jesus. Now, a literal view of this text would lead one to believe that Jesus was carried by Joseph himself, that Joseph wrapped Jesus by himself, and that Joseph rolled the stone all by himself. But if you dig a little deeper, you'll find that this is not the case at all. Theologians exert that the proper understanding was that Joseph took responsibility to oversee that these tasks were done. It was not done by him personally. In other words, Joseph did not move the stone on his own accord. And this might beg one to wonder, well, how many people did it take to move that stone? Well, we find that at the end of the 3 days after the burial of Jesus, the women were preparing to go to the tomb to anoint the body of Christ. But they asked a thought-provoking question. They said, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" All three of these women understood that even with the three of them working together with all of their strength, they were unable to move the stone. The understanding was that the stone was a big barrier to get to Jesus. And perhaps today we have some stones in our lives. Maybe we have some stones that are blocking us from getting to Jesus. And you might be wondering, who will move this stone from my life? Maybe COVID has become a stone for you. Maybe there's an illness you're facing that has become a stone for you. Maybe unbelief has become a stone for you. Maybe you've lost a loved one and that has been a stone for you. Maybe there's some internal struggles you're facing that has become a stone for you. And the question you keep wondering is, who will move away that stone? The reality, the stone might be big, but our God is bigger. I want to encourage you today that the stone in your life can be moved. Praise be to God. The soldiers can be moved. The seal can be removed. The stone can be moved. Praise God. The stone can be moved in our lives. Jesus was laid in the tomb, and his frightened disciples had scattered and gone into hiding. The religious leaders thought that they had won, But the story was not over. The Bible says early Sunday morning. What time was it? Early Sunday morning, when the woman came to anoint Jesus. The soldiers were there like dead men. The stone had been moved. The seal had been broken. And the body of Jesus was gone. Well, how did this happen? I'm so glad you asked. Because the picture painted by the servant of the Lord says that a conversation took place in heaven where God said to the angel, "It's time to get my son." And the angel said, "I've been waiting to hear that from you." And God said, "How fast can you get there?" The angel said, "I can be there in a moment's notice. You've given me the ability to move faster than the speed of light." And off that angel went down towards planet Earth. And another angel saw what was happening and said, "I can't miss this show." And the two angels went down to planet Earth as fast as they could. They had to slow down as they approached the sepulcher where Jesus laid. And as they approached, they saw the soldiers, they saw the seal, and they saw the stone. But the soldiers couldn't stop them. The seal couldn't contain them. And the stone couldn't block them from getting to Jesus. And the angel of God looked past the soldiers, looked past the seal, and looked past the stone, and cried out to the Savior and said, "Jesus, your Father calls you." And Jesus rose from the grave with prominence and with power. Jesus rose from the grave, and he reigns victorious. And today we serve a risen Savior. And that signifies that even in our lives, there may be times when we feel that we are dead. But Jesus can resurrect us to a new life. In him, Jesus can restore us. Now, the woman who came to the tomb were looking for Jesus and were surprised he was not there. They encountered the angel that was there, and the angel said, "Well, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? Jesus is not here. He is risen. He's a risen Savior." Amen? The songwriter says, "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is with me, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him most, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Today, Jesus lives." And if you ask me how I know he lives within my heart. When we look at the cross, we realize that Jesus died because of our sins, because of our transgressions, because of our iniquities. And Jesus stayed on the cross because he had you and me on his mind. Jesus knew that on April 16, 2022, someone would need to receive his saving grace. Jesus knew that someone would need to give their lives to him. That someone would need the hope of a Savior. And so he stayed on the cross. He could have sent legions of angels. But he said, "I can't come down because someone needs a Savior." Our sins nailed him to the cross. The piercing on his hands would represent all the wrong things we would do with our hands. The piercing on his feet would represent all the wrong places we would go with our feet. The crown of thorns on his head would represent all the wrong thoughts that we would entertain. And the spear that pierced his side would represent all the wrong things we would put in and on our bodies. Jesus did all of this because he had you and me on his mind. Maybe today you're uncertain about a lot of things. Maybe life has thrown many things your way. Maybe you're uncertain about a lot of things. But maybe there's one thing you're certain about. And that one thing you're certain about is that you know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus loves you. You may not know everything, but you know that Jesus loves you. And today, you want to say, Jesus, I want you to teach me how to love you back. I'm appreciative of what you did for me on Calvary. I'm appreciative for all you do for me every single day. And I just want to demonstrate to you how much I love you. And I want you to teach me how to love you more. Maybe there's been times in the past when you did not demonstrate your love for Jesus all the time. Sometimes you missed the mark. But today, you've come to realize the love of God in a special way. And you want to show Jesus, Jesus, I will stand for you though the heavens fall. Jesus, I want to demonstrate my love for you more than anything in this world. If that is your desire today, I invite you to stand with me to your feet, wherever you are. You want to demonstrate by standing to your feet that you love Jesus. Your standing today is saying yes to Jesus. If you're online today, you're on Zoom, just type in yes in the chat box. If you're on YouTube, just type in yes. If your decision is to say, Jesus, I love you. I remember when I used to stand up for appeals and the preacher would call those who would make a decision to come forward to the front. I remember I would be shaking. My feet would shake. I would think I was going to fall on the ground. And I remember I would walk down and I would say, Lord, I'm giving you my life. My mind has just been thinking about how much Jesus was shaking while he was on the cross. The agony that he experienced on the cross. How much he was shaking. But as he shook on the cross, he continued to keep you and me on his mind. Say, I won't come down. I won't come down. Today we serve a risen Savior. We can stand for him, not only today, but until we see him again face to face. Amen? May that be our prayer. And may that be our decision and our commitment to make with the Lord today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Lord. There's not enough opportunities for us to thank you. So God, we just ask that as we stand today, that as we've written yes in the chat box today, or as we've said yes out loud today in our homes, that Lord, you would receive us with your love, with your compassion, with your grace, and with your mercy. Lord, we thank you that you are our Savior. Where would we be without you? We'd be like sheep gone astray, the sheep without a shepherd. But we're thankful today that you are our good shepherd. And Lord, we want to commit our lives to you. That Father, we would live our lives in total surrender to your will. Total surrender to your word. And Father, we want to follow you every single day of our lives, faithfully. So I pray, God, that for all those who have made the decision today, that you would register our names in the books of heaven. That you would register this day as a day where your children made a decision to follow you all the way until your second coming. We know, God, you're preparing to come and take us home. And so until then, God, keep us faithful. Keep us at the foot of the cross. And let us never forget the great sacrifice that you gave for us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I ask you to remain standing as we sing our closing hymn, Because He Lives. Invite the praise team forward. Sherilyn and Phyllis for playing the organ and the piano today so wonderfully. Let us pray. Father God, we are so grateful that we serve a risen Savior. We can face uncertain days simply because you live, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We extol your name. We ask today, God, that as we continue to worship you as we leave the sanctuary, that our hearts would truly be uplifted to you, that we would continue to walk with you by faith, hand in hand, knowing, God, that you will lead us no matter what comes our way. We can have full confidence in you as our Savior, as our Redeemer, and precious friend. Bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen.